Amen. Good morning, church. You know, that song has a special place in my heart. I know normally we sing, I have been redeemed after somebody gets baptized, but that was actually the song that they sang when I got baptized. So that was the first song I heard in the kingdom, and so I love it. So thank you, Ray, for that. It's a gorgeous day out today, isn't it? You know, I love this room with the windows, and it's going to be in the 50s today, and that's going to feel real nice. It's I love how, you know, when it goes from summer to fall and it hits 50s, everybody bundles up. But when it goes from winter to spring and it hits the 50s, shorts are on, you know, and t-shirts. So it's the same temperature, but it's different, right? Because you're shifting. I'm ready for spring. I don't know how you feel. I love all four seasons. I'm really grateful to live somewhere that has all four seasons in their full effect. And yet, although I love all the seasons, I'm always ready for the next one by the end of whatever one it is. You know, do you feel that way? It's like, all right, time for spring, and then, all right, time for summer, and then you want it to be fall. But I think because we have winter, after winter, we feel grateful once it's getting warmer out and the sun is shining like this. We're like, oh, it was just so cold. Thank you for warmer weather, and it makes us feel grateful. You know, last Sunday, Chuck preached the word about how God has given us grace by crediting us with righteousness and giving us his promises. Amen. And this morning, we're going to be looking at gratitude, right? We've got this cycle we're going through. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at gratitude in the Bible. And you can turn your Bible over to Matthew chapter 20. Now, the truth is, we aren't always grateful the way we should be, right? Our gratitude can be overly circumstantial or clouded by worries or wants. But I believe as Christians, we are loved every day by a God who does not change. Amen. And so, unlike the weather, our gratitude should not be seasonal. Grace is always given so we can always be grateful. The cycle we're looking at these few months is that we're given grace. And from that grace, we should be grateful. And from that gratitude, we live a generous Christian life. And so to live great lives for God, it's got to stem from a heart of gratitude. And so the title of my message this morning is To Be Great, Be Grateful. For us to be great for God and to live great lives for God, we've got to first really be grateful and have gratitude in our hearts. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, there's a parable about some workers in a vineyard. And we're going to read this parable this morning and be called higher by Jesus in our gratitude for how he has graciously given to us. Amen? We're going to start off reading Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 7, and grow in our gratitude together this morning. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, Jesus tells this parable. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour," this would be around 9 a.m., "he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour," this is like 5 in the afternoon, "he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.'" Now, we'll keep reading in a couple minutes here. But I think this story is pretty easy to follow so far, right? So Jesus is saying, all right, here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. There's a landowner and he's got a vineyard. And when you read this passage, you should get the sense that this is a responsible landowner. He's in control of things. He represents God. So he's not an irresponsible landowner. And yet he has a heart of compassion for these guys that don't have any work to do for the day and need to earn a living. And so he goes out early in the morning and says, you know, I can hire some people to come and work for me to help them out. And they'll help me out in return. I'll pay them. And so he goes out 6 a.m., hires some guys. And then as the day goes on, it's likely that he was wondering, are there still some more guys left there who didn't get jobs for the day? And so he goes back, not one, not two, but he goes a total of 5 times to hire more guys throughout the day to have the opportunity to come and work for him. And it's shocking that even at 5 in the afternoon, when they're going to have to stop working in about an hour, he still gives some guys an opportunity, an agreement to pay them. And we see these guys here, and the truth is they didn't have a job, and they didn't need him to work for him. And yet he decided to give them a fair wage. He agreed to what they, right? It says he agreed to pay them, so they asked for something, and he didn't necessarily need to hire them. They needed the job. He could have said, well, how about a half day's wage since nobody else is hiring you? Right? He could have taken advantage of their hopelessness, but he didn't do that. He said, I'll pay you whatever is fair or whatever is right. So they're there with nothing for themselves, with no opportunity, and this guy comes along and offers them something that they didn't earn. And what we need to see in that is that they were given grace. The kingdom of heaven is like people who were given grace. And I imagine as they were standing there hoping for a job for that day, when they were offered one and said, well, I'll pay you what's right, what's fair, they went along with him grateful and said, amen, I got an opportunity. I'm going to go with a good heart and work for this guy for the day. They were given grace and they must have been grateful. You know, this landowner, he represents God. And this is a compassionate landowner graciously giving an opportunity to these guys. And we've got to see, likewise, God saw us the same way. God saw us in need with nothing. And spiritually, there was nothing that we could do to save ourselves but be at God's mercy. And then God came along and extended his mercy to us. Now, we need to see in our lives that we've been given an opportunity that we didn't earn, but God gave to us anyway. And then he takes such good care of us on top of that. Now, we've talked a lot about how grace has been given, so I'm not going to talk a whole lot more about that, but to see in this passage, grace was given to these guys. But once we accept a gift, once we have grace, the challenge is to stay grateful. The challenge is, okay, I've been given grace, I'm grateful, but then the challenge is to stay grateful. So let's finish reading the parable here, Matthew 20, verse 8 to 16. You guys with me? So they're given grace, we've been given grace, but now we'll see if they stay grateful for the opportunity they were given in the morning. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius, which was the same thing that the people hired at 6 in the morning were agreed to be paid. So when those who came, who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day? But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. You know, the landowner, which represents God, he purposefully, right, this was his instructions, he purposefully had the people hired last paid first. So the guys hired first had to wait and watch as these other guys got paid. This was intentional, right? It was a setup. He could have given them all a denarius, the same thing, but in the reverse order, and everyone would have gone home happy. Not having known the better, right? Like, oh, I got my denarius. what I came and worked for, he's probably only going to pay them a quarter day's wage or a tenth a day's wage or whatever, right? Right? But by doing it this way, he exposed their heart. And we see that in his question, are you envious because I am generous? He saw they were envious. They weren't grateful anymore. And what I learned from this is that God will allow us and maybe even put us, as he did here, that God maybe will even put us in situations and circumstances where our gratitude or lack thereof is going to be exposed. And we need to look at how generous God has been, not to others, but to us, and refresh the gratitude that we had at first. You know, if there's something that you feel driven to compare to others about in your life, or to criticize or to complain about, that might be the very thing that God is trying to remind you to be grateful for. Right? If there's something that you're comparing to others or criticizing or complaining about, that might be a thing God has set you up to say, hey, but are you grateful for this? Or are you just comparing to others? You know, a couple of things here. One, it says he was generous, right? Are you envious because I am generous? Well, who was he generous to? Was it just the people hired last or all of them? He was generous to all of them. But the people hired first lost perspective that the landowner was gracious to them as well and thought he was only being generous to the people hired last. You know, God, the truth is God has been generous. No matter how you feel right now, the truth is that God has been generous to you. God has been generous to every single one of us. We've been given many gifts of grace, right? Being a Christian, just being a Christian, an adopted son of God, is a gift of God's grace. He was generous to let you be a Christian. You know, having forgiveness of our sins, your spouse, being part of the church, the friendships you have, your job, your home, these are all areas where God has been generous to you, even if you don't feel grateful for those things right now. Amen. You know, if you think something wasn't a gift, like if there's something in your life right now and you're like, I'm not so sure this was a gift of generosity, you know, then I think here's a test maybe. Go to somebody spiritual and point to that thing and say, I earned this. And see if it sounds right or goes over well. It's not, right? You take your spouse and go to somebody and say, I earned this. Now you should realize, no, you're being prideful. You need to be humble and realize this was a gift of God's grace to you. Right? Or your home. Or your, right? There's so many things. Your Christianity. I earned this. It doesn't sound right because it's not right. Right? God has been generous to us. And so we need to not be grumbling about these things. We need to be grateful. And so where did these guys go wrong that were hired in the morning? You know, the last verse says, the last, which are the people who were hired last, who were not envious, are now exalted. And the people who were hired first are now, it says, the last. And that's why with God, to be great, to be first, you want to be like the people who were hired last. To be great, we need to be grateful. They didn't lose gratitude for what they were given. The first ones hired lost their gratitude. What did they do to lose their gratitude? They compared what they got to what others got. Then they complained about it, and they felt entitled to more than they originally were grateful for. Right? They originally were grateful for something, but where they went astray was when they compared and then now expected or felt entitled to more than what that very same morning they were grateful to have. You know, so when we go astray is when we start to compare to others instead of appreciating what we've been given and focusing on that. You know, I remember this is a shameful morning for me. I remember being a kid, and it was Christmas morning, and I didn't know yet where all of, you know, you wake up and there's a ton of presents under the tree. And, you know, you wake up and you're like, okay, Santa delivered, right? And so time goes on and you learn more about that. And yet one morning, it's Christmas morning, I opened up all my gifts, and like any other Christmas morning, I'm pumped about it, right? Like I got my new big pile of stuff, and I'm excited. And then I get on the phone with my friend Kyle, and Kyle, I know this, his family like overly spoils them, right? And so I'm sharing, here's what I got, and then he goes through all the stuff he got. And right, and I got like a few packs of Pokemon cards, and he got like a whole box of packs of Pokemon cards, you know? And so he's going through his stuff, and I'm in my bedroom like, ugh. And then like my whole demeanor and attitude about my stuff changed, the way I talked about it, the way I expressed it. And then I got off the phone and walked out, and my mom was just weeping. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Right? Like, I'm a kid. Here's the thing is, I didn't know there was a connection between what I was complaining about and her. Right? Which I later understood and apologized for. But at the time, I went from grateful to not grateful because I compared with somebody else. And I hurt the person who had been generous to me. The truth is, I can still be like this. Right? I could be detached from the giver and what was given to me, wanting more, different, or better than what I was already given that I was originally grateful for. You know, when we stop being grateful, which honestly I think we often don't notice, right? It just kind of accidentally or naturally happens. But when we stop being grateful, we start to be more critical, to complain more. And the thing is, that can hurt people around us, and it definitely offends God. This passage shows us that when we are not grateful for what we have, we are questioning God's generosity. If you're not grateful or content for what you have, you're saying, God, you haven't been generous enough to me yet. Right? Being grateful is saying, God, you have been generous to me. And so with what you have right now in your life, has God been generous to you or not? Yes. It's really a yes or no. And the answer is yes. God has been generous to all of us. Right? The passage says they were envious. And so if you look up the definition of envy, the root of that is discontentment, which is really ingratitude, right? And so their issue, the issue God had with them and why they went from first to being last, not great to God, is because they were discontent. They weren't grateful. And so we know that this is true, but we've just got to hone in on it, is this idea of we've got to be content with what we have, right? And we all hear this, be content with what we already have, right? What you have already, God is calling you to be content with. But I also think in the Bible, God calls us a step further than that. You know, because if you're content with what you have, then what happens when what you have is taken away or breaks or fails you or is lost? Then now you shouldn't be grateful anymore. And so, you know, or if things don't seem fair or go the way that you hoped or thought it should, we need to be content with what we have. But I think even with God, he calls us a step further. I think for the Christian who has God's grace, we need to even be content without what we have. And so not content with more, not content with what we have, but learn to be content even without what we have. That even if home was taken away, or our career, or the things we put our security in, our wealth, that's not what our contentment is in. Amen. You know, okay, I want more, but amen, I'm content with what I have. We need to get to a place where I have God's grace, and so I'm going to even be content without what I have. You know, what we have in Christ is and should be all we need to be grateful and to be content, because we have so much in Christ. And that's why the first century Christians, despite extreme persecution and hardship and poverty, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, they're able to write, although we have nothing, yet possessing everything. That was their perspective. They're saying, look, we are those who having we have nothing, and yet we possess everything. In Christ, we can be content, not just with what we have, but even without what we have, if we have what we have in Christ. You know, I'm definitely challenged by this. I could see that my gratitude can be all too seasonal. I could have days or moments where I, like my home, for example, I could love my house. Right? I'm like, this is a great home. I'll host people or we'll do something new to it, right? Chelsea and I spent the day yesterday painting our living room and dining room, and we're like, we have a great home and we're excited about it, right? But then we'll go do a play date at somebody else's house, or we'll go drive in, you know, drive somewhere, and we're like, ugh, look at, you know, and ugh about our own house, you know? And then we come home and we're like, look at our kitchen, you know? And it's like, wasn't their countertop so nice? And, you know, and it's seasonal and it shouldn't be that way. And then here's what I do that I honestly this morning when working on this and thinking about it realize is wrong, is what I do in those moments is I go then and I compare to someone who has less or worse than me to feel better about what I have. And I realized, you know, that's not right either, because I'm saying then that person can't be grateful for what they have.
Yeah.
And that's not true. I just need to look at what I have been given and appreciate what I have been given.
Right.
Not the more or less that other people have been given, because we all need to be grateful with what we have and what we've been given by God. Now, they were grateful at first. 6 a.m., got a job for the day, and they were going to get paid a whole day's wage. They were grateful at first, but they lost it by the end of the day. And that's why the challenge is to remain grateful.
Amen.
That we receive something, but then over time we don't lose our gratitude for it. You know, this morning in your life right now, are you remaining grateful for the things God has given you? How does your gratitude for being saved compare to the day you were baptized? How does your gratitude for the church compare to when you first found it? How does your gratitude for your husband or wife compare to when you were standing at the altar? How does your gratitude for your job compare to the day that you got the call that you got it? You know, is your gratitude staying and growing, or is it weakening over time? You know, in this lesson, I'm not saying, and I don't think God is saying, that things in certain areas couldn't be better, different. And it's not saying that nothing is wrong. But it's saying that there's always something to be grateful for. And that no matter what's going on, we've been given God's grace, and so we have something great to be grateful for. And no matter what's going on, or if things need to change or be better or different, God still calls us to give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. All right, it doesn't say give thanks in good circumstances, in fortunate, in fair, in right, right? It's give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, the truth is we want a lot of things. We want a lot of things, and some of those might be good things or things we need, but what does God want for you? He wants for you to be grateful no matter what's going on. In all circumstances, what God wants is, hey, I get that you need that. I get that you're requesting that. But still, my will is for you to be grateful, to be thankful. And this isn't just lip service thank you, right? Like we'll tell our kids, hey, say thank you. And it's like, we know they didn't mean it, you know? And it's not like it's saying, hey, give thanks in all circumstances. Thank you, God, for this challenge, you know? Like, sometimes we know where to thank, but do we really, you know, it's gratitude is not just this surfacey thank you. It's this heartfelt, genuine appreciation for God. And like we talked about earlier, the definition of gratitude implies an eagerness to return the kindness given to us. So God is calling us to give thanks, to truly be grateful in all circumstances, no matter the challenge. And so no matter the challenge or what you lack, whether you realize it or not, God has been so gracious to us, right? According to the Bible, he's lavished us with love and with gifts of his grace. And the problem is not that God has stopped being gracious, but that we've lost perspective. And so that's why we need to make sure we don't forget that these are gifts of grace and lose gratitude, because it's just all downhill from there. When we stop being grateful, it's just a bad road to go down. And so instead of forgetting that these are all gifts of grace in our life, we should be feeding our gratitude.
Amen.
And so I want to close out with one more passage in Philippians chapter 4. Right? And so let's recognize, hey, is my gratitude weakening, or am I feeding it? And God wants us, no matter what's going on, to be grateful. And so let's be people not forgetting what God's given and losing gratitude, but let's be people feeding our gratitude even more, growing in our gratitude, knowing that that's what God wants for us. In Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is an incredible passage. Yeah, great one to have a quiet time on this week. And this is telling us some great stuff. It's saying rejoice always. It's saying in everything. All circumstances. It's saying no matter what's going on, with thanksgiving, amen, present your requests and petitions and prayers to God. And here's what's good is this passage is saying we can still have requests. God's not saying be grateful and don't ask for anything else. Hey, I know it's a rough situation, but be grateful for it anyway, and let's not worry about it being any different or better. Amen. Right? We can still have requests. Right, just because we need to be grateful doesn't mean we need to think everything is perfect in our life or in the church or in the world or in our job or whatever, right? It's definitely not perfect. This isn't heaven. But if we compare or criticize or critique without gratitude, without prayer, then it will not lead to gentleness that is evident to all or peace that passes understanding. It will lead to grumbling and complaining. And so we have requests, but we need them still with gratitude even more so. And it says in everything, which is good things, bad things, and everything in between, we need to be presenting our requests to God with thanksgiving. And a challenge for me and for all of us is with the things we want to be better or different or change in our lives or in any area, we need to do more praying and thanking than we do talking and complaining about it, right? More than anything, we need to be thanking and praying about those things. And at the end of this, God is calling us all to think about, to notice, to fix our hearts and minds on what? On things that are admirable, praiseworthy, right, and all these different things. Why? Because that's what leads to joy and gratitude always. And so in that is a key to staying grateful. It's what we decide to majorly think about and focus on with our hearts and our minds. The things that lead to gratitude. And when we do that, when we focus our minds on those things, the result is peace that passes understanding. Being able to rejoice always because we're remembering how God has been gracious to us. You know, today in some area that you are tempted to complain or be discontent about, even if it does need improvement, let's try to find some reasons to be grateful for it, because they're there. So think about what's some area where you're tempted to be discontent, and think about, well, what actually is part of this that I can be grateful for? And how has God still been generous to me even with this? Let's make sure we don't get sucked into Satan's vortex of ingratitude. That's just a downward spiral and doesn't lead anywhere good. You know, I'm 10 years and a few months, so a little over 10 years into being a Christian. And so with perspective, that's 10 years more to be grateful for, but also 10 years at risk of dimming an appreciation that I have been cleansed from my past sins. Yeah. Right? 10 years and a couple months ago when I was baptized and God washed my sins away, I'm now either 10 years more grateful for that or 10 years dimmed in my appreciation. Right? Just like these guys who received initially grace with gratitude, we can dim in our appreciation over time for even our salvation. Now, for you this morning, which direction is it going? Right? We want it. God wants it to be going in the direction of more grateful and realizing, man, God has been so generous, and praising him as a generous God as years and years go by. We need to remember the generous and compassionate landowner that pulled up to us when we were standing there with nothing and gave us an offer we couldn't refuse. And as time goes by, that landowner, that God, he doesn't change. And so our gratitude shouldn't change either. As gratitude for grace given to me goes, so will my eagerness to live a generous Christian life. What I choose to focus on, what I choose to let my heart and mind be guided by and dwell on in my life, in the church, in this world, will affect which of those two options I'm going to be. Somebody growing in my gratitude or weakening in it. And that's true for any of us. This morning, let's take a step back and look at our life through God's lens and see how generous he's been to all of us. Let's see his immense generosity. And no matter the circumstances or what's going on, let's be great to God by being grateful. Amen? Thank you.